on it. Still, nothing.
Really?
Dak said from behind me. I twirled toward him, still in my squatting position, and immediately lost my balance and fell on my butt. His phone was now held out in front of me, in plain sight. You have a phone, I said. I'm stuck here, and you have a phone.
You went through my things?
It was a question, but the anger in his voice made it more of an accusation. I had to, because you told me you didn't have a phone, but you really do. I just want to call my family. I'm sure they're worried about me.
Go ahead.
He pointed to the phone. Was this some sort of a trick? I looked at the black screen again. I can't turn it on.
Exactly.
He plucked it from my hand, shoved it back into his bag, and zipped it up. What do you mean, exactly? Can you turn it on for me?
No, I can't. It has no minutes and no charge.
Oh. I still sat on the floor and was too deflated to get up. Well, that's not very helpful.
You know, before coming here, I forgot to think about you and your needs.
Why would you pack a dead phone? Is the charger in there?
You tell me.
Why did you follow me down here anyway?
Because you left the room looking guilty, like you were about to commit a crime.
You know that look well?
Stay out of my things.
He said it low and barely audible. I'm sorry for going through your stupid bag. I just want to get out of here. My family is probably worried sick about me. Isn't your family worried about you?
No.
I'm sure they are. Did you run away?
No.
Then what? You just left? They're okay with you just leaving for the weekend? Spending the night in empty libraries?
They let me come and go as I please, and I don't turn them in for the weed they grow in the basement. It works out well.
I was stunned silent for a moment. I had heard his mom was a druggie, but it was hard to know what was rumor and what was fact. Your parents grow weed in the basement?
My foster parents. Just forget I said that.
For some reason, I was more surprised that it was his foster parents than I would have been if it were his real parents.
Don't look at me like that. It's perfect. Best situation I've had yet.
Best situation he'd had yet? I'm so sorry.
Why? I have freedom. I'm sorry for you and your pathetically predictable life.
Maybe I'm sorry because it's turned you into a total jerk.
Better than a naive, spoiled priss.
I let out a frustrated sigh. There was that word again. Why did I even try? I was not one of those girls who needed to fix broken boys. I stood up and started to walk away, but before I got too far, I marched back to his bag, opened it up, and said, I'm borrowing your toothpaste. His face was one part shock and one part anger when I left again, toothpaste in hand. When I got to the bathroom, I leaned my back up against the cold tile wall and covered my face with my hand. He didn't have a phone. The only thing that had given me any hope. I really was officially stuck here. As my breath hitched, I reminded myself to focus on the good things. I had toothpaste. And a TV. I could work with that. Chapter 8. As the movie credits rolled up the small screen in the break room, a memory worked its way into my mind. A couple of weeks ago, a group of us had gone to the movies. Jeff, the first of our guy friends to arrive, had stepped over and around a whole row of people to sit next to me.
Is this seat safe for Lisa?
He asked. It was. No, I said, just as Lisa came in the door and saw her seat taken. I looked at her over his shoulder, and she just smiled. I owed her one.
So it was safe for me, then?
We'll go with that, I said, stealing a handful of his popcorn.
First one's free, he said.
Oh, really? And how much for another handful? He raised his eyebrows.
Why don't you find out?
I hadn't followed through, but changed the subject. Where is Dallin and everyone? Before Jeff could answer, Dallin and the others came in laughing.
My mom is going to kill you,
Zack said, trying to flatten his hair.
I was grounded.
That's why we kidnapped you, Dallin said. You get to blame us when she gets mad now.
Zack was still smashing his hair down.
Was the pillowcase necessary?
Jeff laughed, and I glanced his way.
You didn't want to go with them to kidnap Zack?
He shrugged.
I wanted to get here early.
What was wrong with me? I thought now, clicking off the television. Whenever I was away from Jeff, outside of our interactions, I could easily pick up on all the signs. But whenever I was near him, it was like my brain short-circuited and I couldn't tell if he liked me or not. I needed to stop thinking so much. If I hired my dad to assign me a tagline for my life, that would probably be it. Get out of your head. Or, it's not as bad as your brain makes it seem. But those simple slogans were way easier said than done. I tried to force myself to go to sleep. I was tired. My shoulders ached, my eyes throbbed, my head pounded. A nap would help. But it had been a couple of hours now since my fight with Dax, and I felt bad for calling him a jerk again. I didn't fight with people. I'd never called anyone a jerk. I hated conflict, but he seemed to bring it out in me. But with the next 2 days looming ahead, cold and lonely, I knew I needed to try harder to get along with him. I was going to have to suck it up. His foster parents grew drugs in the basement of his house. That was bad enough, but I couldn't ignore the second part he'd said either, the part about how they let him come and go as he pleased. It did sound like freedom, but didn't it really mean they didn't care about him? Only the money housing him brought in? I had a feeling, despite his flippant attitude about it, that he suspected that as well. As I lay there staring at the coffee table in front of me, I noticed a little drawer. I reached forward and slid it open. A single deck of cards sat inside. I picked it up and turned it over and over again in my hands. It took me 5 minutes to talk myself into doing what I knew I needed to do. I made my way downstairs. It was still light outside, and would be for another few hours. It really was warmer on this floor. Warm was the wrong word, actually. Less cold was the better descriptor. Dax sat exactly like he had earlier. Only this time, his left hand propped up his head. I could see the tattoo on his wrist now, but wasn't close enough to make out what it was. He looked at me over the top of his book as though expecting me to say something. "Hey," was my lame response. When I didn't say anything else, he went back to reading. Saying hi wasn't why I'd come down here. I forced the next words out. "I found a deck of cards." He looked at the deck I had begun twisting in my hands again. You want to play?
What game?
He asked. I felt like if I gave the wrong answer, he'd say no. I don't care. Whatever you want. He sighed.
You don't have to do this.
Do what?
You know what.
I did know what. I felt sorry for him, and he could read it all over my face, just like he read my disgust and fear of him the night before. Just like he knew I was going to go through his bag earlier. Was I really that transparent?
Treat me like you always have.
And how is that? As far as I knew, before last night, I hadn't treated him like anything.
Ignore me. 2 more days, and you'll jump back on that train anyway. You might as well stay in the habit.
Ouch. That's unfair. I didn't know you. You didn't want to be known. And I'd say you have it backward. You're the one who does the ignoring. You don't even know my name. That last sentence must have caught him by surprise, because for the first time, his hard expression dropped and he met my eyes. Without his guard up, he looked younger. Big brown eyes, wavy dark hair, a vulnerable look on his face.
Autumn.
Now it was my turn to look surprised. I could have sworn I was right about that. The sudden change in energy knocked the fight out of me. Just play a stupid game with me. I'm bored. He didn't move. I'm relentless. He smiled a little.
More like annoying, he said.
But he stood anyway, and we walked to one of the large oak tables. I sat opposite him and opened the deck of cards. I shuffled them, then passed them out, 5 each.
What are we playing?
He asked. Poker. 5-card draw. My dad had guys' nights at our house, and sometimes he'd let me sit in if a player didn't show. He'd even sneak me some cards and help me win a few rounds. I was sure everyone knew he did it, but it made us laugh.
Okay.
Dax picked up his cards, his air of confidence gone. Maybe he was upset about his hand. I picked mine up as well. I had a pair of threes, an ace of spades, a king of hearts, and a two of clubs. Basically, nothing. Should I keep a low pair, or hope for another king or ace by trading in three cards? Do you want to trade any? I asked. He studied his hand again.
Am I trying to get the same suit, or make pairs?
I could feel my mouth drop open before I could stop it. He didn't know how to play poker? Wasn't he the one who had spent 4 months in juvie? Not that I knew what happened in juvie, but I'd imagined poker was one of the things. You don't know how to play?
Obviously.
Okay.
It's not that shocking.
It sort of is, I said with a laugh. I never had to explain it before. There are several versions of poker, but this one is called five-card draw. We each get 5 cards.
Hence the name?
I smiled. Right. And then you can trade in up to 3 of those cards for 3 more from the stack.
Do I have to trade?
No. Each hand is valued differently. The best hand is called a royal flush. That's when you have the same suit of a 10, jack, queen, king, and ace. You can have a straight flush. I paused, realizing this was going to take forever to explain. Plus, he was staring at me with a blank face. I'd lost him. Maybe we should just play, and I'll teach you as we go. In fact, let's just show our hands for the first couple rounds, and then I'll say what I would do if I had that hand. I placed my cards face up on the table. So, see? I have a pair of threes, and then not really much else. Ace is high card, though, so if both of us ended with the same hand, I could win with the ace. But if you had any other higher pair, you'd beat my threes. So I was thinking of keeping my face cards and trading in my threes and two. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
He put his cards face up. He had 2 sevens, 2 jacks, and a 5. You punk! You already have me beat!
So this is a good hand?
Well, sort of. I mean, it's really the third lowest. 7 hands can beat it. But that's assuming I get one of those 7 hands. A full house would be better. So definitely trade in your 5 and hope for a jack or a 7. But at this point, either way you'll probably beat my hand. He handed me his 5, and I flicked him a card, face up on top of the ones in front of him. It was a 7. I huffed. You lucky SOB.
Did you just call me an SOB?
Sorry. That's what my dad always says to his buddies when they're playing. I forgot what it stood for until after I said it. He looked at the card.
I take it I just upgraded my hand.
4 slots, yes. I placed my 3s and 2 face down next to the stack and drew 3 more. I got a friend for my king, but the other 2 were an 8 and a jack. So a pair of kings. Basically the lowest hand. You won.
What do I win?
Well, if we had bet anything, you would have won the bet. But since we didn't, you win the honor of knowing you won your first hand of poker. He didn't respond. So do you want to play for something? I asked, meeting his dark eyes.
We already established that you have nothing, he said.
We could play for secrets. Questions. I had a feeling this was the only way I was ever going to get to know Dax, because he certainly wasn't volunteering any history about himself. And despite my better judgment, I was curious about why he was the way he was. The dark, withdrawn loner. Chapter 9. Were you hustling me? I asked after an hour of playing. We'd long ago stopped showing our hands. He picked up the game easily. He didn't quite know which hands beat which, or so he claimed. But that didn't matter. He was still beating me nearly every time. I was glad he'd turned down my offer of playing for secrets. You already knew how to play, didn't you?
Nope.
You hiding cards up your sleeves or something? Without thinking, I grabbed his hand, flipped it palm up, and ran my fingers along his wrist. I could now see his tattoo clearly. 3 numbers. 7, 14, 14. My finger traced the numbers without my permission. Or his. He met my eyes.
I don't cheat.
I pulled back my hand. It was a joke. He gathered his cards together and handed them back to me.
Maybe you need to shuffle better.
I started to protest, but realized he was kidding when the smile played on his lips. A tingling sensation went up my arms. I rubbed at them. It was colder than I thought. I'm a great shuffler. You're just lucky. Very, very lucky.
You got me. I'm the luckiest guy on earth.
His voice didn't sound sarcastic, but I knew he was being sarcastic. And he was right. He wasn't lucky outside of the card game. On top of that, even though he was beating me handily, this card game had been doing little for his mood. If anything, it had made him more withdrawn. I nodded toward the tattoo. What does it stand for?
I have another sweatshirt.
It took me a moment to understand he was not answering my question with that statement. But when I realized I was still rubbing at my arms instead of pushing him to talk, I nodded several times quickly. Yes, I'm cold. It's cold in here, right? Do you think there's a way to break past the locked thermostat?
I don't know.
He stood and walked over to his bag, where he retrieved a gray sweatshirt for me. If I thought that his sleeping bag was clinging to his musky scent, his sweatshirt might as well have been on his body. It smelled amazing. I slid it on, and then brought the collar to my nose, before I thought better of it.
It's been in my bag a while.
He said as though I was disgusted by the smell, and not trying to hold back a sigh. No, it's good. It's fine. Thanks. He sat back down while I dealt another hand. Now that he was avoiding my question, the only thing I could look at was his tattoo. I wondered what it stood for, why he wouldn't tell me. There were so many things I wondered about him. I picked up my hand. It was decent for once. You ready to play for questions yet? I asked.
What do you mean?
I folded my cards to look at him. If I win, I get to ask you a question that you have to answer honestly. If you win, you get to ask me one.
You do realize that I've won the last 9 hands.
9? Really? Have you been counting?
Yes.
I laughed. Then you have nothing to lose. He picked up his cards and looked at each one. So, is that a yes?
Why not?
I fanned out my cards and tried to keep my face even. Blank. Do you want to trade any cards?
1.
I slid him a card, then traded 1 as well. I couldn't help but smile when it gave me a full house. He laid down a royal flush, and my smile was gone. Before I'd even shown my cards, he said,
So my question is, where do you think your friends are? Honestly.
His question was like a punch to my gut. How do you know you won? He put his forearms on the table and nodded toward my cards. I laid them down, showing he'd guessed right. He looked at my cards, then at me again, waiting. I told you where I thought they were, looking for me.
So the whole honesty part of this bet was just for show?
Fine. Honestly, I think they figured I went home because I was tired or upset or something.
How would you have gotten home?
They probably thought I called my mom or dad.
Why would they think that?
Because I've done it before. He tilted his head.
You leave events often without telling anyone?
I have anxiety. I panic. I never said that out loud before to anyone but my parents and brother. My friends probably thought I had some sleeping problem, because I generally used sleep as an excuse to leave.
Over what?
Everything? Nothing? I can work through it usually. But I've learned when I can't, and that's when I leave the situation. I shuffled the cards and thought about putting an end to the game. But he'd already asked the worst question he could have. Anything after this would be cake. And I was still dying to find out some things about him. When he didn't say anything, I added, I take medication for it. It's no big deal. My medication that was now in my overnight bag in Jeff's trunk. Missing 3 days wouldn't be the end of the world. But still, it was something else to worry about. I met his eyes, daring him to make me expound some more. He didn't. I dealt another hand that he proceeded to win. I sighed and waited as he leaned back in his chair and stared me down, as if the perfect question would present itself. He had never looked at me for this long, and I couldn't maintain his gaze. I began tracing the grain of the wood on the tabletop. It was pretty sad that it was this hard for him to come up with a question for me, when I had a million things I wanted to know about him.
Why are you always hiding behind your camera?
What? My eyes shot up to his. I wasn't even sure how to answer that question, because it was more of an untrue statement than a question. I'm not. I like photography, end of story. He nodded, then leaned back as if waiting for me to deal him another hand. I do. I like everything about it. I like capturing a moment in time forever. I like seeing things from a different perspective. I like taking a section out of a whole, deciding which section that is going to be. I like the predictability of a camera, that it does exactly what I tell it to do. I like capturing emotion and stories and memories. He raised his eyebrows a bit, like that answer surprised him. But when he still didn't say anything, I added, I'm not hiding from anything.
It's good to know what you like,
he said. It is. How did he do that? How did he get me to say so much with so little effort? I took a deep breath, calmed my mind, and dealt another hand. My hand was good. I only had to trade in one. When I drew the new card, it gave me a full house. I kept my face as passive as possible. He traded three, and my foot tapped nervously while I waited for him to study his hand. He placed two pairs face up on the table. Ha! I said, laying my cards down. Finally! He folded his arms across his chest and leaned back in his chair. There were so many questions I wanted answered that it was hard to narrow it down to one. My eyes went to his wrist. I really wanted to know what the tattoo meant, but since he'd already not answered it once, I had a strong feeling that he wouldn't answer this time either, regardless of the fact that I had just won. Maybe he'd answer this one. Why were you in juvie last year?
I thought everyone knew that story.
I know the rumors, but I want the truth.
You shouldn't have wasted your question. The rumors are true.
You beat someone up?
Yes.
Who? Why? I asked.
Foster father number three. Because he deserved it.
What did he do?
He was a jerk.
How?
He liked to beat on his wife. I wanted him to know how it felt. When the cops came, his wife defended him and threw me under the bus. They pressed charges.
That sucks. He shrugged and tossed me his cards. Then he stood abruptly.
I'm hungry.
With that, he left the table and headed for the doors. I guess I was lucky he answered one question. I should have known this bet would end the game. Chapter 10 Dax was in front of the television eating the rest of his candy bar when I arrived. The sleeping bag was sitting where I'd left it on the couch. I sat down on my end and pulled it over my lap. I lifted a corner. Do you want to share?
I'm good.
My candy bar was still on the coffee table, and even though my stomach wasn't protesting too much, I picked it up anyway and began eating. It was stupid to eat as a distraction here. I couldn't afford that, but I did anyway. I can count on one hand how many paydays I've eaten in my life. But right now, this is the best thing I've ever tasted.
Yeah.
Do you eat paydays a lot?
No.
What's your favorite candy bar?
Do you think because we played one card game together that we're friends now?
That took the air right out of me as a jolt of anger surged through my body. Nope. Just trying to pass the time. He probably wanted me to leave, but because he was being a jerk, I was going to stay. I laid my head on the armrest and turned my attention to the television. Some basketball game was on. I hadn't pegged him as a basketball fan. I really hadn't labeled him as anything but a troublemaker before this weekend, and he was only proving my label so far. I pulled the sleeping bag up around my shoulder. If Lisa had been there, we'd be snuggling together, talking about our latest crushes. Just the Saturday before, we had sat on her couch where a movie played in the background as we talked.
When are you going to tell Jeff you like him? She asked.
She was the only one of our friends that I told about Jeff. It wasn't because I didn't trust the other girls. I just spent more time with Lisa outside of school, so we talked more. I don't know. I have a hard time opening up to him. Every time I start to, I get nervous.
There's nothing to get nervous about. He likes you.
He seems to like everyone.
But he likes you the most. We've all seen it.
Then why hasn't he asked me out? She squeezed my hand.
I think guys can be just as insecure as girls. You're sending him mixed signals.
I am?
Yes. You'll flirt, and then when he flirts back, you back off.
It's true. I start to overthink it. I overthink everything.
Well, don't. You two are adorable together. And if you don't tell him, and everyone, soon, Avi will beat you to him.
What? Avi likes him?
I don't know, but sometimes I think she does. Go take what's yours, she said, then laughed and laughed.
I joined her. I came back into the present with a smile on my face. I missed Lisa. It seemed silly, because I'd just seen her the day before, but I was supposed to spend the whole weekend with her. I'd been looking forward to it. I stared at the empty wrapper in my hand. I'd eaten the rest of my candy bar. Dax's empty wrapper was on the coffee table as well. I mentally calculated the rest of our food again. It hadn't multiplied. But we'd be fine. People survived in the wilderness for longer and with less. Why did that thought make my heart race? Why was my breathing becoming more rapid? No, I wasn't going to freak out over this. Sometimes anxiety would hit me sideways like that, when I wasn't expecting it. When it didn't seem logical. When I thought I'd done the perfect job of talking myself through the trigger. It's like my heart wouldn't listen. I knew this whole situation was overwhelming, and that my body was deciding to play catch-up. But I didn't want to do this here, in front of him. He was already judging me enough. I stood, trying to hide my uneven breathing, and left the room. This place made me feel trapped. I needed some fresh air. There had to be a window I could open somewhere in the building. My mind raced as I remembered trying every one of those windows the night before. I went for the stairs, climbed floor after floor searching for one I hadn't tried. I arrived breathless at the very top, the fourth floor. It was a storage space of sorts, a room with boxes and boxes of stuff. Old decorations, bolts of fabric, tablecloths. So much stuff. A maze of stuff trapping me. My heart felt like it would burst from my chest. I leaned up against the nearest wall. Stop, 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 stop it! My eyes were watering. My ears felt plugged as my heartbeat pounded in them. I was freaking out over freaking out, and that never helped. It's okay to freak out, I said, but didn't believe myself. I saw a door across the way. A nondescript white one with a metal bar spanning its center. One I hadn't seen before. I tripped over my own feet as I nearly ran to it and pushed it open. The door led to a circular metal staircase. Each step creaked, and the whole staircase seemed to be a screw short as it wobbled under my weight. I held tight to the dusty handrail until I reached the top. Another door waited for me there. A creepy wooden owl on the last bit of banister watching guard over it. I yanked open the door and almost stepped onto the roof, but caught myself in time. The roof was peaked, and wouldn't have been safe even without the layer of snow. But a rush of cold air hit me across the face, immediately drying the sweat that clung there. I gulped in icy breath after icy breath, cooling my insides as well. My heart slowed. My breath evened. My legs were still shaky, though, so I lowered myself to the ground at the top of those narrow stairs and looked out at the snow-blanketed roof. Was it unreasonable to think I could sit up there for the rest of the weekend? The sky was darkening, and soon the stars would be out. I thought of being in my bed, staring at the glowing stars on my ceiling in the dark. I would be there in a couple of days, maybe sooner. I thought about the things that helped me relax. My mom brushing my hair. My dad humming while he cooked eggs at the stove. My older brother driving me to get ice cream on the weekends he came home for a visit. The rest of my body settled down with these thoughts. I wiped at my eyes with the heels of my hands. They watered sometimes during episodes like this. It was annoying. It wasn't like this happened very often. Just once in a while when things or events I didn't expect overtook me. This situation seemed to be triggering something in me. It wasn't surprising considering how out of the ordinary the last 24 hours had been. I'd be back to normal as soon as this was over, I kept telling myself. I just had to get through it. I leaned back on my palms. Why can't I just control my mind better? I groaned to the ceiling. No, not the ceiling. I realized I was staring at the underside of a large bell, a rope dangling down below it. This was a bell tower. Of course it was. I had seen the bell tower many times from the outside. I just hadn't thought about it at all from the inside. I was sitting in a bell tower under a bell that was never rung. I jumped up, grabbed hold of the rope, and tugged. Someone would notice a bell that never rang, ringing. They had to. Chapter 11. Or maybe nobody would notice. I'd tugged it 10 times, then had gone downstairs to the main doors to wait for someone to arrive. But an hour later, the outside of the library wasn't swarming with super-observant, concerned citizens or hyper-aware firefighters. No, the front path only held perfectly undisturbed snow. I'd ring it 20 times, or nonstop. Someone would hear it then. I backed up slowly from the front door, about to head up the stairs again, when a thought hit me. Firefighter. I was an idiot. This was a public library. There was a way better alarm in this place. Why hadn't I thought of it before? A small red lever on a wall should have been easier to find, especially since it was supposed to be findable in case of an emergency. It didn't help that it was getting dark. I had found the glass case with a fire extinguisher behind it, the one that said, "In case of fire, break glass." I assumed an alarm would sound if I broke the glass, but I felt bad doing that when there really wasn't a fire. There had to be a basic lever somewhere. Something of the non-glass breaking variety. Maybe it was in the main room. Dax was back in his usual spot, book in hand, when I walked in. Like he'd never left. After one lap of the library, he asked,
"What are you doing?"
"I have a plan. One he would probably hate because it involved bringing the authorities right to our doorstep, but he hadn't told me why that was such a big deal anyway, so I didn't care. I went to the checkout desk and searched the underside for a panic button. Did all buildings have those, or just banks?"
"Are you going to share?"
"Oh, now you want a commentary." He didn't respond, and I was done playing his surly game. The one where he put in minimal effort and expected maximum results. I didn't have to talk either. Kitchen. There would be a fire alarm in the kitchen for sure. That was where a fire was most likely to start in a place like this. I headed there. I heard Dax's footsteps on the stairs behind me. That was fine with me. He could see my plan in real time. I was right. Directly outside the kitchen on the wall was my red beacon of hope. I let out a cry of relief, but as I reached for it, I was abruptly pulled back by my hips.
"What are you doing?"
he asked. I turned to face him. "Saving us. The fire department will come and realize someone is in here and save us." He moved between me and the fire alarm.
"After breaking down the door with axes, not to mention the alarm is probably attached to sprinklers. Is your family going to pay for the damage?"
I looked up at the ceiling. Sure enough, there were sprinklers.
"Can you really not last 2 more days in here? Is it that bad?"
I thought about the episode I just had where it felt like my heart was being ripped from my chest. I didn't want to live through another one of those. "Yes, it is. I want to go home. I doubt the alarm will set off the sprinklers. Usually there has to be smoke for that. There's a window by the front door. I'll stand there and let the firefighters know there is no fire, just trapped people. They won't break anything. They'll go get a key or something." I wasn't sure if that was true. Maybe someone would try to come in from the back or a window, but I really needed this. Move.
I need to be able to leave undetected. Don't do this. For me.
We play one card game together, and you think we are friends? He gave a breathy laugh.
I'm a jerk. We both know that. But you're not. Don't bring the fire department here.
Why? What's the big deal? What are you hiding?
I'm not hiding anything. I just don't need to be on their radar.
Why would this put you on their radar?
A teen accidentally locked in a library with his overnight bag.
You can say you were going to a friend's after you studied. I would have had my overnight bag here, too, if I hadn't put it in my friend's car.
I have one more chance, okay?
What? What do you mean?
I don't want to end up in a group home. If I get one more strike, that's where I'm headed. I wouldn't last a day in there. They have curfews and rules. I need my freedom.
I folded my arms across my chest and let out a puff of air. So why are you here? Really? He ran a hand through his hair.
Does it matter?
Yes. It could be the difference between me pulling that alarm when you're asleep or not.
You're blackmailing me for information.
Let's call it sharing between friends. He shook his head and a smile stole across his face. There was something very satisfying about a smile that had to be earned. It was gone as fast as it had appeared.
My stuff was on the porch. I was heading toward the canyon when it started to snow. That's it. Will you leave the alarm alone now?
Wait, what? Your foster parents put your sleeping bag and duffel on the porch? Was that why he really didn't have a charger for his phone? Because he hadn't packed his own bag? Why did they do that?
I don't know. They're probably having a members-only Tupperware party tonight. I don't ask questions. I don't care.
At least they packed you a toothbrush. I was trying to find the positive in this when it was obvious there was nothing good about it.
I always have my own bag packed, ready to go. I like to sleep up in the canyon sometimes. It's amazing up there. But I don't like sleeping in the snow.
So you came here?
Yes, mystery solved. See, not as seedy as you probably imagined.
No, it was actually worse than I'd imagined. Who did that? Who put a teenager out on the street to fend for himself so they could do... What were they doing that they didn't want him there for?
Will the whole school know about this on Tuesday, or just half?
No, I mean, of course not. I won't tell anyone. But maybe I should tell someone. My parents or something? He shouldn't have to live like that. My thoughts must have been written all over my face again because he said,
Autumn, do I look like I'm not taken care of?
I looked him up and down. He was right. He didn't look starved. He had a lean body, but it was strong. His skin was smooth, no dark circles under his eyes or anything. His hair was thick. He looked really good, in fact. Really good. My cheeks went hot, and I stopped my analysis of him immediately. No, you look... It's just...
Then let's move on. I'm fine.
He pointed to the fire alarm.
Don't touch.
His story, and the fact that I actually wasn't sure that the whole library wouldn't be soaked with the sprinklers if I pulled the lever, made my decision for me. I could stay here. This was no big deal. He had way more to lose than I did. I held up my hands. Fine.
2 days. You can last 2 days. I have a couple of protein bars in my bag. You can have them.
I wasn't going to eat those all by myself. I'd feel terrible. Do you normally give yourself so little food when camping?
I'm normally not locked inside a building. I really hadn't planned on the library. It was a last-minute decision.
I rubbed my arms. Is this building really warmer than camping in the snow? He smiled. Can we at least try to turn up the heat? We stood shoulder to shoulder in front of the thermostat. Dax had used his knife to pry open the small lock. He was now pushing the on button, but it would only flash, then turn back off.
Maybe it's programmed for certain hours,
he said. Let me try.
You can push a button differently than me?
I nudged him with my shoulder. Maybe. I pushed the up arrow several times, hoping to turn up the heat. But this time it didn't even pretend like it was trying. I flipped open the panel, On the backside were instructions on how to program it, but even following them to the letter did nothing.
You can wear this sweatshirt too if you want.
He pulled on the front of the one he had on. No, that's okay. I'm fine for now. I just feel like it's only going to get colder.
It's probably not turned off, just down. They wouldn't want the pipes to freeze.
He was right. Maybe this was as cold as it would get.
I hate being cold.
I turned toward him. I especially hate cold ears. Feel them.
Feel your ears?
Yes.
Why?
When it was obvious he wasn't going to do it himself, I took him by the wrists and directed his hands onto my ears. We were now facing each other. He was half a foot taller, and I looked up to meet his eyes. His hands felt warm, so I knew my ears must have been as cold as I knew they would be.
See? Cold.
He didn't say a word, just stared at me.
I felt stupid, so I took a step back.
Socks. Maybe I can borrow a pair of your socks.
For your ears?
I smiled. For my feet. He cleared his throat and looked down at my feet, and barely their socks.
Yes.
In a surprise move, he reached around me, pulled the hood of the sweatshirt onto my head, and tightened the strings so I could only see out a small opening.
That should help too.
There was a teasing sparkle in his eyes, one I'd never seen there before. I laughed and shoved him, freeing myself from the hood. A single overhead light clicked on. I hadn't realized how dark it had gotten. We'd just spent the entire day in the library. Two more, and this would be over. Chapter 12. As much as I'd wanted to sleep on the couch in the break room, it was too cold. So, here we were again, on the main floor in the library, surrounded by books. Dax had loaned me a pair of socks, as well as the sleeping bag, and I was on the ground, pulling those socks as high as possible.
What did you do with my toothpaste?
He asked from the other side of the table. Ever since I hadn't pulled the fire alarm an hour ago, Dax's expression had seemed less guarded. Like maybe he trusted me a little more now. It was a good change. It felt like we had some sort of pact. Like we were on the same team now. Like we were in this together. Oh, it's in the girls' bathroom. I'll go get it for you. I started to get up when he stopped me with,
It's fine. I'll get it.
You can't go in the girls' bathroom.
Why not?
He sounded amused. Because... Huh.
I guess you can.
We can do whatever we want. We make our own rules here. My voice echoed through the room. I wasn't sure if it was my tiredness or boredom taking over, but I started to giggle and couldn't stop.
Should I be worried?
Nope, I said through my laughter. Go brush your teeth in the girls' bathroom.
Don't mind me.
Last time I'd gotten a case of uncontrollable laughter was a couple weeks ago when my brother and I ate a whole bowl of cookie dough while my mom was on a phone call. She'd come back to help us finish baking, and all the dough was gone.
You're going to get sick. There was raw egg in that.
I'd looked at my brother, and it had probably been the sheer amount of sugar we'd just ingested, but we both started laughing. When my mom continued to be irritated, we only laughed more. Eventually, we'd worn her down, and she had joined in.
You're still laughing,
Dax said when he came back a few minutes later.
It wasn't that funny.
I know. I had pulled the cushions off several chairs and arranged them under the sleeping bag. I crawled inside and zipped it clear up to my chin. But when I start, it's hard to stop.
You do this a lot?
Just when I'm tired. Or hyper. Or happy. Oh, and sometimes when I'm nervous. He gave a single laugh.
So the answer is yes?
I guess so. The laughing picked up again. He stretched out on the other side of the table from me, wadding up a shirt and placing it under his head.
But eventually it stops.
Usually by now, the person who was witnessing my laughing spell had already joined me. Dax wasn't having it, though, which only made me laugh more. We're stuck in a library.
Good night.
He reached up to the table between us and turned out the light. You're no fun. My giggling worked its way down for the next several minutes and eventually stopped. I tried to sleep, but instead lay staring at the ceiling. Maybe it was the memory I just had of my mom, or the darkness that now surrounded us. But worry inched its way into my mind and crawled around freely there, dispelling the levity of before. Worry about my parents trying to get a hold of me? Worry about my friends thinking I had ditched them? Worry that Avi really did like Jeff and she'd beat me to telling him at the bonfire? My brain wouldn't shut off. I tried to distract myself by thinking of something I could talk to Dax about.
What would your government consist of? I asked.
What? Dax answered from the blackness. Aside from being able to brush your teeth in the girls' bathroom, what are your rules in our fake world?
Rule 1. No talking once the lights go out.
I laughed. I would veto that rule immediately. He made a breathy sound that could have been a laugh, but it also could have been a sigh. Because we're co-rulers in the library world. I turned onto my side, propping myself on my elbow, even though I couldn't see him. His body made a darker shape 20 feet from me, and I tried to focus on that. My first rule would be games. We have to play games.
Head games?
I gave a single laugh. You're good at those, but no. Real games.
Like poker?
Yes, like poker.
You like games,
he said. Yes, especially games with lots of steps and instructions, where I could concentrate on those and not let my head get the better of me. Just talking about rules right now was relaxing me. Structure sometimes helped me feel safe. What about you? What do you like? I thought he wasn't going to answer, which wouldn't have surprised me. But he did.
Hiking. Nature.
And reading?
Yes.
So, exploring new places? I said.
Yeah, I guess so.
That can be rule 2. You must read in the library. I mean, that rule doesn't make sense at all, but we'll keep it. He probably couldn't see my smile, but even I could hear it in my voice.
There should be no rules in our world, he said.
You're right. That will be rule 3. This time he did laugh. A warm, deep laugh that made my smile double. It was the first time I'd heard it, and I hoped it wouldn't be the last. I lay back down. Good night, Dax.
Night.
When I woke up, Dax was already gone from his spot. I stretched. Considering I'd slept on the floor, I had slept really well. I'd been warm and comfortable. Now that I was awake, I had a slight pain in my stomach from hunger. And I had to pee, but I did not want to get out of the sleeping bag. I stayed where I was as long as I possibly could, until I couldn't hold it anymore. After a trip to the bathroom, I downed a full cup of water, hoping it would trick my stomach into thinking it wasn't hungry. It worked a little. Then I went back to the checkout desk, where I remembered seeing something the day before in my search for an alarm.
What are you doing?
Dax asked when he came into the room and found me behind the desk digging through a wicker basket. This is Mother Goose's basket.
Okay.
She brings this to reading time every week. It has these cheapy little toys she hands out to the kids. I sifted through a few more of those toys. Why do they call her Mother Goose anyway?
Mother Goose is the fake author of nursery rhymes.
Fake author?
You know, like Lemony Snicket.
Who's Lemony Snicket? And what's a fake author?
It's an imaginary person they attribute the writing of a book to. It makes the story seem more magical.
Oh.
So why are you interested in Mother Goose's toys?
My hand closed around what I'd been looking for. Aha! I held it up in the air, then threw it in the pile of the other things I'd already found.
What is it?
A sticky hand.
Okay, then.
He tossed me a protein bar.
I'm going to read now.
No, you're not. I'm bored out of my mind.
Maybe you should sing.
My eyes shot to his. Had he heard me the first day, belting out songs at the top of my lungs? Of course he had. You know very well I can't sing. He laughed, and my cheeks went red. I'm implementing rule 1, I said, changing the subject. I ripped open the wrapper of the protein bar and took a bite. Did you already eat one of these?
I told you, they're yours.
I broke off another piece and handed him the rest. I can't eat all the food. I'd get a guilt headache.
A guilt headache?
It's a thing.
It must be a nice person thing.
He popped the protein bar in his mouth. Funny.
Rule number one?
He asked, turning his attention back to my pile of toys. Games. Eat, and then we compete. I gave a single laugh. That totally rhymed. He rolled his eyes, but there was an amused look in them. Yes, me not pulling the fire alarm was the best thing I could have done. We were definitely on the same team now. Chapter 13. We stood at the top of opposite wood staircases. He held a wrapped green slinky, and I held a red one. Whichever one makes it to the bottom first wins. You can only touch it if it gets stuck, I called across to him, my voice echoing in the large space.
I could be reading right now.
I could be eating a home-cooked meal right now, but we're both making sacrifices for the greater good. He smiled, then tore open the plastic wrapping with his teeth.
Are you going to be as good at this as you were at poker?
Hey, better to talk smack after you win. We both placed our slinkies at the top. I counted to three, and we let go. His went three steps before falling between the slats of the handrail to the tile floor below. I laughed as mine kept going. You're still in the game, I said. You just have to get it and put it back on the same step. He ran down the stairs faster than I would have expected and hopped the banister at the bottom. He collected his slinky and ran back up. I'd never seen him so animated as he put his slinky back on the step and gave it a nudge to get it going again. It was too late, though. I had directed mine to a win before his had made it another five steps. I raised both hands in the air. Winner! Who can talk smack now? He folded his arms and leaned against the railing, as if waiting for me to give it my best shot. I win, because I'm the best, I said lamely.
You've had a lot of practice, I see.
I win all the time. I'm just humble about it. He let out a single laugh, then scooped his slinky up off the floor.
Best two out of three?
Sure. It's not like we don't have all the time in the world. After my fifth win in a row, he stood at the top of his set of stairs studying his slinky.
Maybe mine is defective.
Is that the excuse you're going with? He flipped it over and pulled on the end.
If I had a penny and some gum...
I lowered my eyebrows. What?
If one side was weighted, I think it would go faster.
And what would the gum be used for?
I'd have to stick the penny on with something.
And gum was the go-to? Not tape or superglue?
I was trying to think of two things we might actually be able to find in this place.
Let's move on to the next game before you start searching under tables.
Next game?
Follow me. I led him to the end of the hall, past a bronze bust of the president of the college the building used to house, then turned around. The other wrap toys were in my pocket, and I brought out the two mini frisbees I had found. Each had a plastic launcher. So you put the frisbee in the launcher, and you squeeze the end. Whichever one goes farthest wins.
Is there a secret to make it go farther?
I don't know. You seem to be the one with all the secrets. When I realized how that sounded, I quickly added, I mean, pennies, gum. Maybe you have some modification for this as well.
I don't,
he said. Well, I haven't used one of these since I was little, so I have no idea. You want a few practice rounds? I thought he'd say no, but as he opened the package and stared at the blue disc he held, he nodded his head. I stifled a laugh. He was taking this more seriously than I thought he would.
What?
Nothing.
No, it's something. What?
You're competitive. He smirked.
I'm not the one who pouted every time I lost a hand of poker.
I did not pout.
What do you call it, then?
I launched my disc. I call it showing emotions. You should try it.
What are emotions?
He sent his disc flying down the hall as well. His landed several feet past mine. How had he done that?
So I won?
No, that was a practice round. You wanted a practice round.
Who's competitive again?
I shoved his shoulder. I'm not. I just like to follow the pre-established rules. He laughed and collected our discs.
Whatever you want to call it.
When he held up his hand, readying his launcher, I pushed on his arm, sending the disc flying into the wall. He gave me a grunt, but his eyes were smiling. I held mine up and hadn't noticed he'd moved around behind me until he picked me up by the waist and swung me to face the wrong direction. Cheater! I called out as my disc ricocheted off the window behind us.
I thought distractions were in the pre-established rules.
Okay, fine. No interference this time. We launched them together. As we held them up, I kept looking at him, waiting for him to push me off balance or something. He didn't. But I felt off balance and sent my mini frisbee a little too high. His was aimed perfectly by a steady, unaffected hand. He won the round.
Is it time for rule number 2 to go into effect yet?
Dax asked after totally dominating several rounds of the frisbee game. Rule number 2?
Reading.
Oh, I laughed.
Or rule number 3 would work fine too.
I vetoed rule number 3. Last game. I pulled him by his arm into the glass-enclosed walkway. The stained glass window, the focal point of the hall, sparkled even brighter from the light reflecting off the snow-covered scenery outside. I handed him a sticky hand. We need a tiebreaker.
What's the game?
Whichever one stays stuck to the glass the longest is the winner.
The winner of what?
He asked. Did you want to play for something? Another truth? He pinched the hand between his fingers as if testing its sticking power, then nodded.
Sure.
I counted to 3 and launched my hand over the rail. My red hand stuck a little higher on the curving arch of the window. His green one had a piece of the long string arm that hadn't quite stuck. I was going to win. We just had to wait it out.
How long do they stick for?
He asked. My brother once threw one on the ceiling, and it stayed up there for 2 days.
2 days?
That's not the norm, though. Didn't you ever play with these as a kid?
No, I did not.
I sat down and leaned against the railing. I stretched my legs out in front of me.
Nice socks,
he said. I smiled. I had pulled his socks over my jeans. And even though I knew it looked ridiculous, it was keeping me a little warmer. Thanks. Everyone should wear them this way. He sat down next to me, our shoulders almost touching. An electric energy seemed to radiate between us. We were probably just the only heat sources to be found in this hallway, making that energy seem like a tangible force.
How old is your brother?
He asked. He's a sophomore in college. 19. That makes me the youngest, with all those fun character traits.
What traits are those?
Agreeable, motivated, perceptive.
You let traits define you?
No. There are a lot of characteristics of youngest children that I don't relate to at all. What about you? Do you have any siblings? Too late, I realized that might have been a sore subject for him. He was in foster care. I wasn't sure how that worked if there was more than one child.
No. Guess that gives me all the only child traits.
What traits are those?
Selfish, private, apathetic.
He had a small smile on his face, so I knew he was at least a little bit kidding. I think you mean confident, independent, highly motivated.
You read a lot of psychology books?
With my condition, I had actually. Yes, and my friend Lisa is an only child. She liked to brag about how it gave her the advantage in almost every aspect in life. Except humility, I always pointed out. Do you know Lisa?
Is she Indian?
No, that's Avi. Lisa is short, has brown hair. He shrugged.
Maybe if I saw her.
He didn't know Lisa, but he knew me? I always thought more people knew Lisa. My eyes shifted from watching the unmoving sticky hands to the scene outside. The snow was higher than I'd seen it in a while. Do you think that maybe cell phone reception is being affected by the weather?
Over a little snow? I doubt it. Why?
It's just, I understand why maybe my friends figured I went home and aren't worried, but I haven't called my parents in 36 hours now. I'm surprised they haven't been scouring the city for me. They would have called Lisa up at the cabin by now. That's where they thought I was. Lisa would have told them I wasn't there, and someone would figure out I was here. I don't get it.
Up at the cabin? Like in the mountains?
Yes.
There's probably more snow up there.
So maybe reception is worse up there?